Bhakti Vikas Swami speaking about His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. I must have first seen Maharaj during the 1976 Mayapur Festival, but I have no recollection of doing so. I was pretty badly sick during the whole festival. The first time I saw him, or the first time I recall seeing him, was with a bit of a bang. I'd just arrived the evening before in Bombay. That would be late September 1977. First time I ever came to Bombay. And he gave the morning Bhagavatam class. And I remember sitting in class thinking, well, this is really heavy. Because he was saying that now Srila Prabhupada is very sick. And we, the leaders of the movement, have to take charge, take responsibility for the movement. And those who are not properly following, who don't rise early and go to Mangalati and follow all the principles, they're not chanting their rounds, they should be removed. I remember him saying that word very strongly. Removed. Then after the class, a devotee told me, he's talking about Garga Muni, who was living in Juhu at that time, and was overseeing the BBT library party, but he was never seen before 8 in the morning, and he didn't have any sadhana of any type whatsoever. So he's referring to him. So my first impression was, whoa, it's really heavy. And I became a bit surprised about Jayapataka Maharaj. I thought, he was really heavy personality. Then I became surprised because a little later, after I saw him with Garga Muni Swami, with arm in arm, their arms over each other's shoulders and talking and smiling together. Anyway, that was my first impression. The second time I met him marked a major change in my life. I already was in the process of undergoing a major change in my life in as much as I had decided I want to dedicate in Srila Prabhupada's mission in India, and I was just 2 months in India. That was just a month after, it must have been late October 77. I was on the BBT library party. I came to India because I was attracted to join that. But as it happened, I was on a party where I was being sent to just ordinary schools, and there was, they had little funds for purchasing books. So in a whole month going out every day, I'd only sold 2 sets of books, and I wasn't feeling so happy because in the West, you pass out books moment by moment, almost. So anyway, we were in Allahabad and we decided, let's go and take darshan of Srila Prabhupada as we'd come that close. We were traveling around. So we went to Vrindavan, and Jayapataka Maharaj had come from Mayapur. And I guess he had the idea that in Vrindavan, there are always devotees floating around. Maybe he could pick one or two up. I guess he had that idea. And especially those with Commonwealth passports, like myself, although he wouldn't have known that. Anyway, I was sitting in the front of the temple. That it must have been the evening because I was only there for 1 or 2 days before we left. Sitting in front of the temple, he came up to me and asked me where I'm from, what I'm doing, and I can't remember exactly, but I expressed to him that I wasn't so happy. Because you when doing book distribution, you want to do plenty of books. So he said, you can come and join our party in Assam, where they're distributing. It's so good, the book distribution. You just open up the Matador van at that time we had. If you know India at that time, you know what a Matador van is. And you're glad that we don't go in them nowadays. So you just open it up and crowds of people come around and the people are anxiously buying books. So I said, So he asked me if I wanted to come. I said, sure. So my party leader wasn't very happy. Adi Keshav Swami was there at the time, and somehow he got to know about it. And he said that, well, if it was me, I'd have punched you out in the face. Nice Swami. So anyway, that was my next meeting with him. And that was that very much influenced my life, because for the next 12 years, I was in his zone. And actually, it was a fact in Assam that the book distribution was phenomenal. There were so many Bengalis from East Bengal, where the Bangladesh, where the culture is one of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and they are very eager to take our books. That was the first time our book distribution party went there. So that was a big difference. Let's have a look at the other questions. Initial first impression, very heavy kind of personality. Then traveling back with him, we went to Delhi, and then we took the Rajdhani train to Howrah. And my impression at that time was that although he's a Swami, he's quite interactable with, approachable, like that. There was myself and one other. I think he picked up. I can't remember who didn't stay, but I stayed for 12 years. First few meetings. I can't remember exactly. I mean, there were so many times. Most of the time I was in his zone, I was in some kind of leadership position. Tambor president, regional secretary, BBT in charge, which didn't mean much to be the temple president in Bangladesh, where he had about 3 devotees. But anyway, we was getting the mission going, and things have developed a lot since then. And so many interactions. You'd have to put me under hypnosis. What's that called? Regression, to remember so many things. Service under him as a brahmacharya. Well, I wasn't serving directly so much. During that period, I was in sometimes in Bangladesh, sometimes in Thailand, sometimes in Malaysia. So I'd see him in all those places. And sometimes I went to Burma. I didn't see him there. And Nepal, I don't think I saw him there either. And then Bihar also. But I was mostly in Bangladesh, Thailand, and Malaysia, and also in Burma. So I was, mostly it was pioneering work and getting books printed and starting the preaching. And he would come every so often. He's very much in his element among the Bengali villages. I even now, I think, he has so much experience all over the world. It seems to me he's very happy and at home with the Bengali villages. I first remember thinking that when we were at Haridaspur on some festival was there or something, and there were a group of there's just some local young Bengali boys. Boys means teenage, early 20s, and he just sat down among them and immediately had a good rapport with them, of course speaking in Bengali, which I don't think I'd learned at the time. Probably not, because that was one of my earlier impressions. Incredible determination and fortitude. Doesn't get discouraged. Everyone's going to tell you that, so I don't need to tell you that. One incident I remember in Joshua district in Bangladesh. We'd organized a program in a village, and usually what we'd do is we'd have a pandal constructed from bamboo and some sheets. They're not as fancy as the pandals you'll see in India, just homemade things. It's a village in Bangladesh, and especially at that time, it was facilities and sophistication were zero, practically. Well, they did have tube wells, so you didn't have to put a bucket in the well. You can pump the well up. Grace of the United Nations. They did do something in Bangladesh. So what happened was we had this program and thousands of people could, it was in a Hindu area, one of the few areas in Bangladesh, which is large area. There were, what is that, 40-something villages in that area are all Hindu. So a lot of people had come by walking up to 20 miles and a huge crowd. And just we'd started the program, we'd done kirtan, we were about to begin the lectures. And as is not uncommon in Bengal, all of a sudden, really suddenly, a huge storm blew up. And we had to cancel the program because the pandal wasn't built to withstand a storm. And that was it. So we went back to our vans. Getting the vans is another big story, but that's not directly connected with him. We had these Mercedes vans, which so we went to the van and went to sleep. And about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and heard Jayapataka Maharaj lecturing, because the people, they had no place to go. They were just sitting there in the rain, and they couldn't go back in the storm, except people who lived within the immediate proximity. And he was lecturing there, and he said, he met him later, or maybe I went and listened, I can't remember. But anyway, I mentioned that, you know, that's pretty amazing. Because the storm had died down by that time. He said, yeah, there's so many people come and they're anxious to hear about Krishna. So when the storm stopped, he got up and got the sound system and the generator and everything, got it all going and started giving a lecture. And that was pretty impressive. His eagerness to preach, considering we've come here and so many people are here. So they came here for hearing about Krishna. I used to like to, I often cooked during that time. I learned to cook Bengali style. And he likes to eat, as is well known. I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way. I'm here in Bombay at the moment, and I remember one of his disciples, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Devaki Mataji, simple woman. She invited me once to her place, and she said, so many times Prabhupada used to come and eat here. He liked to eat. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to say that. Madhvacharya is also famous for that. So I used to like cooking for him in different places. In Bangladesh, in Thailand, and Malaysia, and massaging also. In my brahmachari life, I used to massage different devotees who are sick, or sannyasis who are, generally their bodies are tired out from so much traveling. So usually at night in Bangladesh, when he was there, I'd give him half an hour massage before he took rest, so that was nice. And there are so many other things. But anyway, I'm sure you've got huge, huge amount of information, because he's touched the lives of so many people. So there are so many people who have got so many things to say about him. He's undoubtedly a great personality.